On Sunday afternoons at 4, I'm going to start going through like an Old Testament survey, just kind of stepping back, looking at the whole thing, and then going through each survey of each book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then go through that way. Luke chapter 19. This is a biographical account of Zacchaeus. Thought I was kidding, didn't you? Okay, and so this is the only account in the New Testament as far as Zacchaeus. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts on that this morning. Shall we go ahead and pray? Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful to your words. Help us to think through the words and meditate on the words, and we might get some insights that just reading words doesn't help. And I pray that the Spirit of God would guide us through the words, and that he might convict our hearts, or at least draw close to us so we might understand the Scripture. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, there are different sermons or methods of preaching. Some usually be topical. This one will be biographical. Okay, and it's just 10 verses. It's an account about Zacchaeus. And so we'll go down through an expository, read a verse, and give some insight into that verse. And the Bible promises that if you meditate on the words of God, Psalm 1 and 2, that's when you can prosper spiritually. Meditating is thinking things through. We are, our culture, our society is not taught to think. Okay, we're taught to consume information, knowledge. And so a lot of times we get pictures of things and people say, wow, that really happened. Well, did you know that the camera crew went to the moon before the moon landing took place because they had a picture of it? How did they get the picture of it? Unless it was staged. So a person that thinks things through, how'd that happen? Think it through. I didn't know the camera crew got up there first. They set up a tripod, and then here it comes. Ah, we got the picture. No, that's not how it works. It's just a facade. Okay, and so reading through the Bible, we think about things. We get some insights into some things. And I want to look at Zacchaeus. Okay, and he is one of the last, if not the last, or the latter converts of the Lord Jesus before his trial and crucifixion. You'll see in the next chapter, and later in this chapter, is you have the triumphal entry. So that would have been Palm Sunday. So this was right toward the end of a 3.5-year ministry. This is the only record of this account. It's only got 10 verses. And some of us, do you remember the song we sang in Sunday school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Okay, and that's a song I remember singing as a kid in Sunday school. And so this is a story, and what's interesting about this story, it shows God's response to an individual when they have something that God is interested in. That's what it's going to show. So I want to take note of that. If I want to get God's attention, I want to read this story to see what did this guy have that drew the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an attitude, and his actions show something that was going on within his heart. It's a very interesting story. And I want to give you some insights to the goal that God has for each and every one of us. An abundant life. And this will provide fulfillment and purpose in life. People, what are you looking for in life? People are looking for things. Well, the Bible's got the answer. In a little Jewish school this last week, the teacher announced to these little kids, about 7, 8-year-old kids, whatever, I forget. We're going to make two lines, boys and girls. Whatever you feel like today, you get in that line. I feel like a dog teacher. And that's where America's become. Nuts. Okay? And so this will give us fulfillment in life. if we see what Zacchaeus did. So I'm just going to go down through it verse by verse, chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He'd just gone through town. Okay, Jericho has a history in the Bible. If you go back and read some history about Jericho, Joshua chapter 6, that was a large city, very influential city. That was the first city that the children of Israel conquered, obviously by God's power. They marched around it 13 times, and it had a big, big wall, very tall wall, very wide wall. The history says that that wall, you could put two chariots side by side, so it's a double-lane highway on top. And it had apartments and abodes inside of that wall. That's where Rahab the harlot lived. Isn't it interesting how the politicians knew right where Rahab the harlot lived? And that's what you call in the know. You find that in Genesis 19. And so it's, and this is where you have a red light district with Rahab the harlot because they had the scarlet cord. You get that in there. And the Bible is the standard. It's a fascinating book. Jericho, after the walls came down, Joshua pronounced the curse on Jericho. And he said, this city's cursed. And he said, there's going to be somebody that's going to rebuild the city. And while his firstborn is born, he's going to set up the foundations. And while his lastborn is born, he's going to put in the gates. Now, if this guy wanted to disprove the Bible, all he had to do is have another kid. That's all he had to do. Well, evidently he didn't want to disprove the Bible, or he didn't know about it, or he couldn't. Okay, and so that was promised. Now, the city of Jericho today is in a general location. I've been there. You had to go through some security checks when you go from Israeli country to Muslim country. And so that's where Jericho's at. Okay, now this is where Zacchaeus lived. Okay, and the Lord was just passing through this town, this city, prior to the triumphal entry. So I don't know, maybe this would have been Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right before the Sunday of the triumphal entry and then the trial. So this was within the last week of a 3.5-year ministry the Lord Jesus had. 19:2, here's where we see the man. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Well, we can see nothing has changed. You become a politician, you get money. Okay, and so this is not a lowly publican or republican. Okay, that's where we get the word publican, republican. Okay, he was the chief. He would have been the Speaker of the House if they had that in Jericho. Okay, he would have been a hoi polloi, high guy. I mean, he would have been a guy that walked down the street that people, oh, there he is. But they hated him inwardly because the guy was a tax collector. Okay, so he wasn't just some common, ordinary Joe, I guess you could say, even though we got some Joes in here. But he was an influential man, a wealthy man. And what this tells us is that we got to really think about that, about this man. They were not well liked in the community. Publicans and sinners. Okay, sinners under the Old Testament covenant would have been extremely wicked people, sodomites, adulterers, and things like that. Okay, this is how they used it in the Old Testament. So now we're introduced in the Bible for the first time, Zacchaeus, a tax collector of Rome, or for Rome. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Isn't that a play on words? The press, the media? No, it's not them. But it sure is interesting the Bible throws that in there. Because he was of little of stature. He was little of stature. So he's a short guy. Okay, now here's some thoughts on this one. You would tend to think a tax collector for Rome, verse 2, would not have an interest in Jesus Christ. You would think that. Okay, and this tells us that one never truly knows the heart of a man, especially from his occupation. You just don't know. One truly doesn't know the heart of a man from his appearance. You truly don't know. If you're passing out tracts at a certain location and then you see a guy with his Harley and he's got his babe with him, you know, and you know the difference between a Harley Davidson and a Hoover vacuum cleaner is the Harley Davidson has the dirt bag on the outside. But even at that, here he is, and you would tend to think, I'm not going to give him a guy a track. He would probably chew me up and spit me out. And some of those people are the gentlest people, you'll be surprised. Not all of them, because they obviously get a reputation for a reason. But some of them are. You can't tell by the outward appearance of people. You can't tell by the occupation. If you say something about a lawyer, oh, right off the bat, oh boy. Yeah, but in Titus it says, bring Zenith the lawyer. There's, hey, you know, 99% of them give the others a bad name. And that's why if a lawyer would fall overboard over the ship, sharks don't eat them. And that's because of professional courtesy. And so the idea of that. And so you really can't tell a lot about a person. His desire was to see Jesus Christ. You would never think that somebody who allowed the sacrifice of children in a pagan ceremony would get right with God, but Manasseh did in the Bible. The grace of God is fascinating. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Now, I don't know how long he'd been reading the press of the day, how long he'd been hearing some things. Obviously, Jesus Christ didn't get good press, but he was well known. And so this tells us that the guys on TV are fakers. Can you imagine? Or Robert, oh, he's dead. You know, he didn't get healed. He must lack faith or something. Can you imagine one of these fake healers just walking through town and a bunch of people showing up without the advanced revelation that they're coming in town? This is a real faith healer. A real faith healer just walking through town, throngs of people come out. It says for the press. People everywhere. Carrying their sick kid, carrying their sick mom, bringing in their sick folk, bringing in blind people, bringing in deaf people. I mean, you showing them where I can see, imagine these people carrying, you know, step up, curb here. You know, a guy with a cane walking around trying to find out where I can get a hold of Jesus Christ. A press. And then this guy, Zacchaeus, said, I want to see him. Well, that's what the Bible encourages. The Bible says the wicked will not seek after God. Wicked people won't seek after him. They might look clean. They might look nice. They might have a good job. But the wicked won't seek after God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. The Lord told the Jews this, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The book of Ezra is named after Ezra, and he didn't show up until chapter 7 of Ezra, 10 chapters. And it says in Ezra 7 verse 10, it says, Ezra prepared his heart seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach it. Psalm 27, verse 10, written by David, the man after God's own heart, and verse 4 says, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 119, verse 2, Blessed are all they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Proverbs 2, verse 1 demonstrates, gives us an illustration how we are to seek after God. How am I to seek? Well, I seek after God. I'm in church this morning. Okay, how do we seek after God? Proverbs 2, verse 1, this is what David taught Solomon. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find some lost coins in your house, or lose some coins, lose some silver, lose some gold. That's real money. You know, lose a Federal Reserve note, I don't know anything. Find something. You're going to tear the house apart to find it, right? That's how we're supposed to seek the Bible. That's the method. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, this is the Bible personified, and it says this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. There might be a time where you can't find him. God gives up. He gives up on people. Romans chapter 1, you can see he's almost had it with this country, if not has already. Why? He gives up. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, Daniel sought after the Lord and made confessions. National Day of Prayer, you won't find them confessing anything. And that's why we're not going to have revival in this country until people start confessing. The glorious thing is Hebrews 11, verse 6, is a promise is that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a great promise. You know the main reason why God does not respond to many people? I've had people tell me time and time again, I don't know God, I don't understand the Bible, I don't get anything out of the Bible. God doesn't respond to many because they do not have a desire to know God or his thoughts or his ideas. They don't care. I've had people tell me that I love God. They say, I love God. I'm automatically suspicious. Why would you tell me that? Are you trying to convince me or convince yourself? You see? And so the thing is Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. How bad did he want to see him? Next verse shows how bad. Next verse says, as far as Zacchaeus, he's a man of little stature, short fellow, big crowd. Couldn't find him, couldn't see him. Verse 4, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Whoa. Where there's a will, there's a way. So what did Zacchaeus have to do? He saw the crowd. He saw it down in probably the city square. There's a big tree down there. And he went down there. Can you imagine a guy, suit and tie? Well, I'm sure they didn't have suit and ties in those days, but can you imagine Paul Ryan climbing a tree? Speaker of the House. Who's up in the tree? You know kids are. Boys are up there. Some tomboys are up there. They're up in that tree. And Zacchaeus probably said, hey, you kid, help me up there. Man, I have a hard time. Got a ladder? I need a big ladder. I mean, for a influential chief politician to lower himself in his attitude to get up in a tree is telling us something about this guy. This guy, where there's a will, there's a way. And he's going to get up in the tree with the kids in order to see Jesus Christ. He had a humble mind. He had some initiative. He figured it out. He did what he had to do to get himself in a position to see Jesus Christ. You know when people want something badly, they'll go to extremes. I mean, they will. Depends on what it is. Depends what it is. Sometimes it's sports. Sometimes it's a career. Sometimes, it's a video game. Could be that. People spend a lot of time with that. Whatever people choose. Sometimes it's eating. That one you usually could tell if they like that one. Sometimes, whatever it is. When people desire smoke, oh, Oh, man, when I was in high school, they had a smoking block. I was glad for the smoking block. I didn't go out there. I was glad for it. It kept the bathrooms free. And it would be in the dead of winter, and I'd see 16-year-olds go out the door in the cold winter, get a smoke. I sit there and, oh, I got a chuckle out of that. And then it was illegal to do it. Illegal to have a smoking block at Lowell High School. Man, I was disappointed. Man, bathrooms got all smoky, and oh, here he comes again. Here comes Mr. Smoking his weed. That's how I walked in school. Man, I can smell the weed now. Getting high on his odor. I mean, amazing thing. People will do anything. Now, a long-time attendee of a Bible-believing church, you know, you remember possibly when you first started hearing Bible-believing stuff, wow, I never heard this before.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting used to it.
That's just the way we are. You see, we have a person has to maintain a constant desire for the truth. The more you sacrifice, the more you get out of it. You know, yeah, we have 4 o'clock. I've never been an advertiser. Never have been. Very bad at announcements. I forget all of them. Okay, but yeah, we have 4 o'clock. Hey, we open a Bible on Thursday nights. Yeah, we do, but I don't say a whole lot about it. And I know people work and things going on. But you know, we have a great promise in the Bible where God promised every born-again believer that he has given you the Spirit of truth and the Spirit will guide you in all truth. Claim it. Claim the promise. And then have a heart to seek after God. And you'll learn some things like you'll never see before. The Bible is a fascinating book. Next two verses, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. He looked up and saw him." What did he see? Well, he saw the person, but he's looking at that heart. What did he see in that heart? Psalm 42, here's what he saw. Not only did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus, he had a desire to thirst after him. This is a continual thirst. Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Psalm 63, verse 1, the psalmist wrote this. He said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Blessed is he who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled." The thing is to maintain constant. Yeah, you're going to get tired. Yeah, the Bible gets boring at times. Yes, I don't get them things out of it a lot of times. But the thing is, maintain it. Maintain it. Claim the promise that the Spirit's going to guide us in all truth and then seek it. And then verse 5, the Lord saw him. The Lord came to the place, looked up, and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I can imagine. You know, this is not the reaction of Zacchaeus on top, on the limb, you know. "Get out of the way, kid. I got to get down there. I'm going to go. Jesus is coming over to my house today." No, he was excited about this. Okay, and what does this tell us about Zacchaeus from Jesus Christ's response? Jesus said, "I must abide at thy house." What determines the factor of Jesus abiding with somebody? John 14, 23, Jesus Christ said, "If a man love me, he will love my words, and my Father and I will make our abode with him." Now, the evidence of Zacchaeus had been spending time in the Word of God, because that evidence is coming up about verse 8. But still, and then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, in the Laodicean age, Jesus Christ outside the church, and he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." That's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was there. Jesus Christ came. You see, and that's where he's at. I mean, all across this country, Jesus Christ is outside the church. He's not welcome. If you want to learn some of the Bible and start expounding some of it to some people in the church, they're going to look at you like, you am weird. Get out of here. And that's all across this country. It's very sad. And I had a guy just email me yesterday with a question from India. Hello, are you Telemachanika? From India. You're my teacher. I'm watching you on YouTube. He had questions. Man, that's one first time he's written me. And that's a blessing to have that. Don't have a place to go. Okay, next verse. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, we got our wonderful critics and our spectators and these scoffers. And here they are. And how should we react to that? Ignore them. Ignore them. Hey, if professional athletes can ignore people in the stands for some notoriety, for a game, shouldn't we be able to do that for Jesus Christ? I mean, of course, when they do, of course, they do have a motive where if they do say respond to the spectators, they get fined big time. Okay, but still, we got your critics, got to have that. Naysayers. Now, there, of course, now, was Zacchaeus like one of those publicans, you know, that had the bad reputation? Who knows? It doesn't say. But the people say, he's a sinner. Okay, next verse. Zacchaeus stood. Why did he do that? Okay, so now he's Jesus Christ in the house. He's got a bunch of people with him because politicians are always got a bunch of people around. They got to, you know, have all that happen. And people flooding in, people outside the house. They want to see what's going to happen. And Zacchaeus stood up. Why? That's what they do for people that they honor. When judge walks in the room, all rise. It used to be because he had a Bible in his hand. But he stood up. He's honoring Jesus Christ. Zacharias stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. One statement, you get a lot of insight. Where do you come up with that idea? From one statement, we see that this guy... Now, we can't look at this from our angle on salvation. We have to look at it differently because this is prior to the crucifixion. So we're dealing with something different here. But still, from one statement, this guy has shown that he's been reading some Bible. Exodus chapter 22 says if a man steals a lamb, okay, and he gets caught with lamb in hand or on property, he is to restore fourfold or fivefold. Exodus 22. He is telling you about his occupation. What is the general feeling about his occupation? He said, false accusation. Why? That's government policy. Deceit number one, extortion number two. You say, what government? Any and all. Okay, in Leviticus chapter 6, when a person gets money through deceit, Leviticus 6, 1 through 5 states that when you get money through deceit or take it by violence, that's extortion, then you are to restore the principal part, pay back, okay, and to the person you stole from. In Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 9, which is a millennial passage, Jesus Christ is advising the Israelites that got into the millennium. He said, stop your exactions. Exactions is a legal term that's akin to extortion. It is a fee charged when no fee is required. Okay, and that's the whole traffic regulation is exactions. Okay, where you're just going from, it's a fee that's, boy, it's all licensure. It's called a color of law. And so this guy, Zacchaeus, is transparent, not the Obama transparent. He is truly transparent to the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says that the Lord is going to judge our secrets. So why shouldn't we be transparent to God? This guy is laying it on the table. He is really laying it out. I mean, God sees our heart. Who do we think? I mean, when a person thinks they're hiding stuff from God, they're just fooling themselves. You can hide things from your parents, from your family, from your church, and things like that. You ain't hiding from God. He sees everything. Zacchaeus, boy, is he is laying it out. He's telling you what's going on. I mean, the fourfold idea, that's when David took Bathsheba and then murdered her husband. He lost four boys because of that. And that's Exodus 22. This tells us that Zacchaeus knew something. He'd been reading some Bible, Old Testament Bible, but he'd been reading something from Genesis to Malachi. I mean, he is transparent. He is honest. He is sincere. He's acknowledging the Word of God and its judgments to Jesus Christ. Verse 8. What's the response? What's the response of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham." It's two separate things there. Hey, salvation's come to this house. Oh, by the way, he's a Jew anyway, so it's showing that, hey, just because you're Jew doesn't mean you're God's children. You know, something to think on that aspect. But still, this is an amazing statement where this Old Testament salvation is still Old Testament doctrine. So this is why it's made this way, said this way. And then the next verse, many that teach the gospel according to Luke will say that this is the key verse. And it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, what a statement. And then he throws another idea afterwards. And as they heard these things, verse 11, 11 down to 27 is implying something about Zacchaeus. And it's dealing with rewards after salvation. Where under the Old Testament covenant, verse 9... Zacchaeus was considered salvation or righteous under the Old Testament in verse 9 by Jesus Christ, declared righteous. It's a legal statement from the only potentate on the world, Jesus Christ, the only true judge. And he's telling us here, here's salvation, verse 11 down through that 27, that is dealing with what we call sanctification. And that's the goal God has for every man, woman, and child. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, "It is the will of God that all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Why? The next verse says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to force himself on any of us. He's not going to do it. He's not out for jihad and going to make you believe him. He saw Zacchaeus truly wanted to see him. He saw Zacchaeus has done his part, spent some time in the book, in the Word of God. He saw that Zacchaeus was honest, humbled himself, and Jesus Christ sought him. And Jesus Christ came to him and then saved his soul. Verse 9 and 10. And then that great story on the parable of the pounds implies that Zacchaeus kept going with this. What a story we get from one account of the Bible, Zacchaeus. Fascinating story. It's going to be, I don't know when I get to heaven if I'm going to be the same height, but I can look down on Zacchaeus, you know, height-wise. I don't know, but it's a great story about Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the wonderful account of Zacchaeus. Lord, we want to get your attention that we need to be like Zacchaeus. Want to seek you, want to see you, hunger and thirst after you. Where there's a will, there's a way. We got to put forth the effort. You told us to study. You told us that. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be people that hunger and thirst after righteousness and see where that leads us in the matters of truth, ideas, doctrines. Help us to want to see you and want to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your doctrines, your viewpoints from your blessed book that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.